From Paul's letter to the church at Philippi, the fourth chapter, beginning at verse 11. I do not complain of want, for I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. I know how to be abased, and I know how to abound. In any and all circumstances, I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and want. I can do all things in Him who strengthens me. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Sailboats are beautiful. I've always thought so. Even a small pond is graced by the presence of a sail upon its waters. Sailing is to boating what the string quartet is to music. For a series of summers a while back, my family vacationed on Bear Island in New Hampshire's Lake Winnipesaukee. And for several summers, I watched sailboats from shore. It got to me, and finally I could stand it no longer, and I equipped my kit-built car-top kayak-like boat with something called lee boards, a rudder, and a 60 square foot red and white sail. And I went sailing. And I had to learn from scratch. I had one fear: turning over. The instruction book said there was no excuse for capsizing. But I had been watching a lot of amateur sailors, and I had seen a lot of guys get wet. You should have seen me lean when my sail caught that first good gust of wind. The power of wind against even a small sail is surprising. It wants to turn your boat over. And I learned that all I had to do was to control the amount of swing I had in that sail, to control the degree of list of my boat. And if it was blowing hard, I could let it out more and it would help straighten up. And if it blew real hard, I could just let go of the rope and let it flap like a weather vane. But then I was in trouble, because I was totally out of control of the boat and had to do a lot of scrambling to get everything back together again. I quickly learned that the best thing to do when a strong gust of wind threatens to turn you over is to steer directly into the wind. Face it head on. When you do that, the sail begins to flap like a flag right in your face, and your boat is perfectly upright and you are completely safe. Now that I had learned some of the basics of sailing, I could watch what was happening out on the lake more astutely. I could separate the amateurs from the pros. And I loved it when the big sailboats would execute my maneuver, heading directly into the wind. It made a sound, those big sails, like laundry flapping in the wind, with an occasional crack like thunder. Real sailors called that luffing. L-U-F-F-I-N-G. We luffed our sails. Well, preacher that I am, it was easy enough for me to translate that experience and observation into a sermon. I would translate the art of luffing into that larger part of life when we're not on vacation and need a way to escape the strains and stresses of daily living. The Apostle Paul is an example, perhaps the best one. For some, Paul is not very attractive at first sight. But the better you get to know him, the more you live with him through his personal spiritual struggle, the more you will come to appreciate the depth of his commitments and the profundity of his spiritual insights. The cure for anyone who might be a little put off by this scrappy Pharisee turned Christian is to spend more time sailing with him. Let's single out one amazing fact about the Apostle Paul. There is no denying that Paul, working against forbidding and frightening difficulties, managed to rise above every circumstance, bad health, opposition, unfriendliness, and say that he was afflicted in every way, but not crushed, perplexed, but not driven to despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed. What's his secret? What was there about Paul that made that possible? I think the answer is there in his Philippian letter. He had discovered the art of luffing. I have learned, he wrote, to be satisfied with what I have. I know what it is to be in need and what it is to have more than enough. I have learned this secret so that anywhere, at any time, I am content, whether I am full or hungry, whether I have too much or too little. I hear the crackling rumble and thump of a giant sail facing the wind. All the irritations and perplexities that were after him and assailing him, and there were many, had not upset his stability, had not soured him on life, had not obscured in any way his vision of his Lord. When everything was going contrary to what he wanted to see happening, when his life was being threatened, he was content to go on plugging away, satisfied that he was doing God's work. And he had no desire to go back to some nostalgically better Eden that he could remember. He was not ready to turn aside to an easier life. Now, it would cheapen it to say that he had found inner peace, serenity of soul. This is the commitment of someone facing the wind He was a virtual human dynamo at this point, a boiler at full steam. He was someone who was impassioned with Jesus Christ, a man who was burning with devotion and determination, dedicated to wearing himself out for his Lord, doggedly pressing on against all hazards and hardships, all the while insisting that inside, where it was a matter between Paul and God, everything was all right. He is content. No complaint. Don't worry about Paul. Now, this is not self-control. This is Christ control. I know, he said, how to do without and how to have a lot. By personal experience, I have been initiated into the secret of being full, like an animal being fattened for slaughter, and how to nearly starve. I know what it is we would say today to fall behind in my payments. In every variety of circumstance that marks the ups and downs of life, Paul says, I am content because I am in Christ. But notice he does not leave it there. I quickly learned that luffing works only for an instant. It might be an amateur sailor's way of getting out of trouble. But if you continue to luff, a distressing thing starts to happen. You start sailing backwards with no control at all. That happened to me with one of my children in the front seat. And I soon preferred a boat leaning way to one side and turning over to one that was drifting helplessly backwards, and you couldn't do anything to direct what you were heading for. Real sailors, by the way, have a technical term for that. It's called being in irons. So luffing is only for a moment. It's not a permanent way to live. That's why Paul does not go to sleep in his contentment. Instead, he rises out of this assurance of his contentment to give us the greatest statement ever uttered by a Christian in any time or place. I can do all things in Christ who strengthens me. Not through Christ, but in Christ. The power for accomplishment is not the result of having claimed some divine channel of blessing that can send good things his way. It is a life saturated by the living presence of Jesus Christ. I do this thing because I am a person in whom Christ dwells. To be in Christ means that Jesus is your environment, the very air you breathe. material things are still quite real, but they lose their supremacy. Emotions still pump their juices through your system, but Christ holds them in check. A new standard of measurement has been brought into play, which rules out jealousy, envy, competitive ambition, fear, greed, all that troublesome menagerie which soils human experience. And this new relationship with God produces results that would seem incredible. There are daily miracles. I can do all things in Christ who strengthens me. Now that's a possibility for you and me. We are still clay in the potter's hands. We remain creatable. No matter what our age, regardless of how much we've already accomplished, there remains the question of how much more can we do. Our present ability is not the measure of our possibility. Paul's transforming secret can be ours. If God calls, if God assigns the responsibility, we can say with him, I can do all things in Christ who strengthens me. Amen.